Good morning again, everyone. We've been in our Advent series the last several weeks. We've been going through basically the banners we see around the room. We've had joy and love and hope and peace. And now we've made it to Jesus. We've been at Jesus every week. It's where we're at every time we gather to worship, is at Jesus. This morning, not a typical Christmas verse, 1 Timothy 1:12-17. Not typical, but it's there. We'll get there. We've also asked the question every week about how we use each of these words in our life, and then we kind of compared it to what it was biblically. Last week it was peace. So how do we use Jesus in our life? How do we use His name in our lives? Maybe sometimes I don't want to know how you're using His name in your life. Do we? Not as straightforward as some of these other words. How about this? Think about all the people you talk to and talk about, in a good way, not a bad way. All the people that come up in conversation and in thought throughout the day. How many times is it Jesus? Who is coming up more than Him? Oops. Already starting off a bit harsh this morning. The point is, and the point of our text this morning is, that Jesus is the reason. The reason for what? For our existence. And for our lives, and for our faith. Jesus is the reason for heaven instead of hell. Jesus is the reason for the season. I had to say it. Three parts this morning. Thank God for mercy. The saying is trustworthy, and glory to the King. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. Let's stand as we read God's word together. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this morning again, and I thank You for Your holy word. Help us walk through Your text for us this morning while focusing in on Jesus in our lives. Help us apply this text as we leave today. In Jesus' name I pray. So we find ourselves here in 1 Timothy this morning as we're celebrating Christmas together. It is Christmas Eve. There's your reminder. I know all of you have plans running through your minds, right? Things immediately after this, maybe. Maybe it's meals and desserts and desserts and desserts and desserts. Maybe that's your plan. Family and gifts. All these things swirling, but I'm going to ask us for a few moments this morning to push aside the busyness and to focus in on this reason that we're looking at. We say this all the time, the reason for the season, or maybe we just hear it said. But this morning, let's truly pause, mid-chaos, to reflect on this reason together. The birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. 1 Timothy, written to Timothy at Ephesus. He's at the church in Ephesus. It feels familiar because the church in Ephesus in Revelation, and also Paul writes the Ephesians to the church in Ephesus. So Paul writes this here to Timothy as well. Largely written to give Timothy some guidelines for leading the church. That's where we go to for our leadership requirements, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. But specifically this morning, we see who Paul believes himself to be and who he believes Jesus to be. Let's dive into that. Thank God for mercy. Now, we all know the story of Paul. He was Saul, and the chief persecutor of Christians, right? The primary enemy of Jesus outside of Satan himself. He says this. Paul says it about himself. The book of Acts says this. Hunting and killing Christians because he did not believe Jesus was who he said he was. Then after the death of Jesus and the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus comes to Saul and he believes. That's that road to Damascus. Blinded so he could truly see for the first time. Saul became Paul and the leader of the church's missionary efforts. He writes 13 of the New Testament letters to the churches. What did he write to us this morning? Well, first, Paul thanks Jesus for several things in the first three verses here. What are they? Strength. Christ has given him strength. Strength to turn from his old way. Strength to press forward with the gospel. He thanks Jesus for judging him faithful here. That's another one. Coming to him and giving him his faith. Appointing him to the service of Jesus. The question would be, if Paul thought himself worthy of this faith, of this service, did Paul somehow think he was good enough or that his faith was good enough or by his own efforts? No. Verse 13. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. He says, I was an insolent persecutor and blasphemer. Standing ignorant and in unbelief is where Paul received his mercy. This is the exact same place we all stood when we received mercy. Ignorant and insolent in our ways, sinners. No one can claim otherwise. All have fallen short. We're all like Paul in our unbelief, and we were all like Paul when we find ourselves as repentant believers in Jesus. Which means we should all be like Paul in thanking Jesus for our mercy. We have been given strength and we have been judged faithful and worthy of service in Christianity. That is who you are if you believe. 1 Peter 2:10. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is Christmas Eve. That makes tomorrow Christmas Day. I hope you knew that. What is the best gift you've ever received? And we're in the digital world, so maybe it's some electronic device. Maybe it's clothes. Maybe you're a clothing kind of person. Maybe it's books. You're an avid reader. Maybe it's games, gift cards. Maybe it's that cold hard cash. Maybe that's the best gift you've ever received. Maybe some sentimental gift, right? We have those. We hold close to our hearts. Maybe one of your children were born close to this day. Molly came home December 23rd, 2010. None of these things are your greatest gift. Not even close. Sorry, Mom. We're here to celebrate the greatest gift. Jesus being born in the manger in Bethlehem. Amen. He's the reason for your faith. He's the reason you can claim salvation. He's the reason that heaven's door is even open to you, to me. He who took on flesh and our sins so we could turn from our flesh and toward him. Not so we could be perfect. That's what everybody always hears. Faith, salvation, you want me to be perfect. That's not it. Not that we can somehow here be better than anyone else. That's not it. But rather that we could realize who we are and who He is. So we could be a sinner saved by the grace and mercy of God. It is born again and made new. It is new hearts and Holy Spirit within. It's all that. It's much more than that. But in its simplest form, it is sinners saved by Jesus. Amen. This makes us like Paul. And like Paul, we gather to be thankful. Take time this weekend, this holiday, to thank God for the things in your life. To thank Jesus for your faith. We're going to have a moment later this morning which you could do that very thing. Give thanks. Let's keep moving here. The saying is trustworthy. Where we are now is in verse 15. It says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So what does he say is trustworthy here? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That statement. That is what we call Christmas Day. It was finished on the cross and in the empty tomb, but inaugurated that Christmas morning. And to be clear here, Jesus has always existed. The very Word of God has always been Jesus in the flesh, born that morning. For us, the sinners. Paul again grounds it in his own background here. This is true, and you can trust it, because I was the worst sinner, and he saved me. He says it again in verse 16. I was the foremost. We need to pause there for a moment. Was Paul the worst sinner to ever live? Probably not. Committing one of the worst sins to ever live, to ever be committed, blasphemy, other things. Probably not the worst sinner. We can say that knowing all of the atrocities going on in the world around us, right? Mm-hmm. Things I will not list to you, but you know what evils lurk in this world we live in. Why does Paul say he was the worst? Because he feels like he was. He did some pretty bad things, leading to the persecution and killing of Christians in the name of God. That's what he was doing. He thought he was protecting God, standing up for God. Instead, he was standing against the Son of God. Pretty bad. Blaspheming, kind of bad. There are two main points here. The first is, Paul went from killing Christians to spreading Christianity across the world. He says he was given mercy so he could be an example. I'm the worst. If it could be me, it can be you. That's what he says. Now, some of us may be still holding on to the sins in our lives. Maybe still involved in them, or maybe they're past mistakes that we can't get away from. This also means that some of us think ourselves unworthy of Jesus. Now, let me first say, that is absolutely the case. No one worthy of Jesus. And you may think, Pastor, that's not very comforting there. It's Christmas Eve. Give us some comfort. It's just what it says. No one worthy. That is the point. No one has ever, ever, ever lived a life worthy of glorifying the God of everything. No one has ever lived a life that pointed toward anything other than a sinner worthy of eternal judgment. No one except the Son of God. It is why He had to come. It's also the reason why you need to let go of this concept of worthiness. You're not worthy, but He came for you anyway. That is the gospel message. He came for the sinner. He came for the lost. He came for us, His sheep, but we were all lost and all astray, and He had to come to us. Stop with the trying to be worthy and look up and realize that your Savior has already deemed you worthy. By His blood, by His sacrifice, by His death, by His resurrection, are you deemed worthy if you believe? The second point here by Paul is that you may have already been deemed worthy, the unworthy called worthy because of him. But when you sin, you will not feel like it. Paul never felt worthy of his faith. Why? Because when you have true faith, your sins hurt. True faith means Jesus died for you. True faith means his Holy Spirit within you. True faith means that when you sin, and you will, there's a war inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God versus your wicked desires, and when you give in to those desires, it will hurt. You will feel the weight of that. If you cannot feel the weight of that when you sin in that moment, then you're probably not his. Ouch. John tells us, if you deny you are a sinner, then you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Everyone sins. We have to begin there. The entire New Testament says that if no repentance, then no heart change. And if no heart change, then no spirit. And if no spirit, then you are not his. You will feel your sins upon you. And you will feel unworthy. And then you will repent and get back up and remember what your Savior did for you. Deemed you worthy while knowing what you would do. Knowing what it would cost. Can we imagine that? Going in knowing. I imagine that there's a line waiting to be sent to earth to be born. I think this is an animated movie. It's probably 3 or 4 animated movies. They all have some of this premise. I think of the one called Soul. It was kind of like this. Waiting in line to be born. You're in line and you're told what you're going to be before you come to earth. Famous rock star. Yes. Masterful surgeon, saving many people. Yes. Popular author. Bestseller, all kinds of books, yes. You're going to be socially awkward, but good with numbers. Okay, I'll take it. Whatever it is. How about getting to the front of the line here and being told that you are only being born so you can live a hard, nomadic life and to be rejected by almost everyone. And so you could suffer unimaginably for sins not your own. And those sins are from those who rejected you. And you're born so you could die so other people don't suffer unimaginably. You signing up? Jesus did. Before time began, Jesus knew what you would do. And what I would do would hang from him on that cross. He knew his celebrated birth was going to lead to his humiliating death. He knew and took it on anyway. Forgive them. They know not what they do. That's him from the cross speaking for the sinners he's trying to save. So yes, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Can you say that this morning? Christmas Day is about the birth of the Savior of the world. Has he saved you? Do you stand as a sinner saved by the Son of God? Glory to the King. Our last verse this morning. Verse 17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is why we gather as his people. It's why we take time out of our busy schedules. Everyone's busy. Take time out to prioritize being his gathered people. To honor and glorify the King of Kings and only God. Why? Why honor Jesus in this way? He is God and the reason for our existence and the reason for our salvation. That's a good start, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us, there's one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Revelations 19:16. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. And for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is who Jesus is. And we celebrate his birth together this morning, but also in your homes and wherever you gather in the days ahead, right? That's what we do, right? Not always. Maybe even hardly ever. The truth is, our giving glory to God has taken a backseat to many things. Family and friends, events, jobs, kids, sports. Just this once turns into, well, just this month turns into, well, just till the season is over, turns into not on the priority list at all. Why not on the list at all? Well, several reasons. Church is somehow now a social club. As long as you claim membership, then all is well. It's like that gym membership, right? You've got it. You never use it. It's still there, though. Church is also just a check box now. Have I got enough appearance in this year kind of box? Or pastor just gave me a phone call, I better go this weekend kind of box, right? This makes this check box just another box on the list of other priorities. When the church is like this, then it's not hard to see why it's not deemed important. What should it be? It's a gathering of the people of the Creator of everything and Lord in their lives and responsible for their eternity. A gathering of his people giving him glory. It should be a gathering of the body of Christ. Many members in one body, right? Many members with various giftings. We've been looking at this in Romans on Wednesday nights. If someone's missing, then part of the body is missing and part of the gifting is missing. Everyone needed. Not fully functional until you return. It should be an induced longing by the Holy Spirit within. God's Spirit within us to save us, to make us new, to give us new hearts and new lives and a new eternity. We were once lost, right? And now we're not because of this Spirit. And this Spirit needs the gathered church. The Spirit longs for the family of God, the things of God. It feeds upon the Word of God, the desires here to be connected to God through prayer. Things come up, right? You can't always be gathered. I won't always be a part of the gathering. But when things come up, your insides hurt. Something's off. Something's not quite right. Something's being missed. That's what this gathering is. It's also the place where you come to be sharpened. Wherever your church home is, you sharpen one another. To be blessed. To be consoled in your time of need, to be lifted up. The Christian needs other Christians and not the world. The world's going to offer many things, usually worldly disguised as good things. But it can never replace the gathered church. Can never replace the things of God. Now, if this rant has not described you, then you have two options here. If you don't have this longing, option number one is that you've been away from the body for too long and you need to come home. You need to be reconnected. You need to be recharged. You need to be unhooked from the world. Option number two is likely that you were never His. I know that's harsh to say on Christmas, but it is the truth. Maybe it's not you, but many who have relinquished the priority of God in their lives did not do so because of other more necessary things, but rather did so because it was never actually a priority. Check your list. How long would you allow yourself to be separated from your family? How long could you stand to be separated from that sport? Anybody see UKUL? I bet you scheduled it. That TV show, that news program, that app on your phone, separated for not very long, I assume. How long have you allowed yourself to be separated from the family of God? How long has someone in your family allowed this to happen to them? There's your answer. Choose the priorities of the world, or choose the body of Christ. One of them has its hooks in you and is draining you of your energy and your time. And the other is gathered believers saved by the grace of God and being renewed. There is another hurdle here. Maybe a lower priority because we didn't like what the Bible was saying about our life. The option was to lean into the Word and change, or lean away and remain the same. The world created that lifestyle we like leaning into, so of course it will accept it. The truth is, Jesus too accepts you the way you are, right? While sinners, He died for us, and we come to Him as sinners. But Jesus never leaves you there. Jesus doesn't leave you in the muck of the world. Change is a part of the gospel, but not change by you, but rather change done to you by Him. His sacrifice and His Spirit within making you into something new. Ask Paul what this looks like. Ask Paul what this feels like. Who did he think he was before Jesus came to him on that road? Where's this rant going, I wonder? Back to verse 17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Give God the glory, even when it's hard. Even when it affects your schedule. Then we're being the family of God. Then we're being born-again believers. If we neglect this, then we neglect God. And we neglect our Christian walks. We starve His Spirit within us. Verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. We are sinners and we will fall short. We will never be perfect. And yet the God of the universe stepped into time so that we don't have to be. It's not a call to be perfect, but rather lean into the one who was perfect for you. We do it one day at a time and we do it together. When He is our priority, then we are His light on earth. That's Christianity. Isaiah 9:6, we were there last week. It's over here on the banner for today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do we live like that verse is true? Do we gather like we believe we are His? Do we celebrate and sing like we're promised to be His family forever? That's what Christmas is. That's why the birth of Jesus. Is that us? Is that us? We're going to close this morning at the Lord's table together. This symbol and church ordinance is one that He gave to us to remember what He gave for us. On the day we gather to remember his sacrifice at his birth, that's what it was. It was a sacrifice. God taking on flesh for us. We also come together to remember his sacrifice at his death. How we do this is as the gathered body of believers here, striving to walk out in faith. If this describes you, then feel free to join in. If not a believer currently, or you're struggling with your faith, you don't know where you stand, you've got something going on, then probably best if you do not partake with us, because Scripture warns of us leaning into this remembrance in an unworthy manner. But the decision is yours. Everybody should have a cup. There's a film on top. That's the bread, and then the whole tab comes off for the juice. Let somebody know if you don't have enough in your roll. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning together, this Christmas season. And we thank you that we can come together in these moments and just remember who Jesus is for us. Remember who was born that day. Remember what it means to be called a part of the family of God. Remember what it means to make Jesus a priority. And while we're remembering these things, we come to your table together. Father, help us take this bread and this cup, doing so while remembering everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which was also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Son's body broken for us. Father, we thank you that we stand in this Christmas Eve and season remembering his birth. We remember that he was born so he could die for us. We thank you so much for that sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Paul continues here, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Take a drink. Christmas time is here. With the birth of our Savior on our hearts, is how we leave this place this morning, I hope. With our own Christian walks on our hearts, is how we leave this place this morning. With our Savior is how we enter many Christian gatherings in the days ahead. You're probably going to one immediately after here. What else is on your heart this morning? Some suffering or some sin? A desire to return to the body, your salvation or the salvation of someone close to you? The answer there is always believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. If it's someone you're about to go meet and greet and have a good time with, please take the gospel with you. They need it. They need it from you. Whatever it is in your life currently, bring it to our Heavenly Father as we sing. And let's sing like we're singing to our Savior who is the King of the ages. Amen. Singing like we know and believe what he did for us. Singing like the Son was given for us on that Christmas morning. Let's do that as we leave. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that we have this time of year that we can come. come draw in close and put all the other hectic things in our life aside and just push into that manger. Push into the birth of the Son for us. Let its weight set upon us how important that morning was. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be called your family. And we know it's only through the Son that we have this opportunity. Help us in these moments together of singing and prayer that we can just empty out what's ailing us, what's weighing us down. We can be filled and rejuvenated by your Holy Spirit within. And we can walk out these doors as a united family of God into the world who needs Jesus. Help us do that today. In Jesus' name, I pray.